Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, thank you for joining. We are True Feels Hurt. I'm Dwan Johnson, and I'm filling in for Prince Gibbons. I'm happy to be continuing our marriage conversation with Melvin and Jatasha Collins. Take me out. Melvin and Jatasha, do you all want to go ahead and continue the conversation about
Christians
Melvin?
Christians have invested in believing Jesus the niggas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anybody got any new questions, or we got any old questions that from last time that we didn't answer?
No, not on our end. We don't have any new questions, but I'm sure we will by the end of this show, because y'all have some awesome stuff to talk about. And I just want to go straight to the point because we only have 28 minutes.
Okay.
All right.
So what do you want us to start? Like, how do you?
Well, first of all, I wanted to know what made you all write this book.
Okay, go, Melvin.
We wrote the book because we were going through a few things in our own marriage, and we sat down and we discussed it and tried to figure out the best way to work through it. And once we came up with our own solution, I started thinking about marriages in the past that have lasted versus marriages that have failed, and what was the main cause for the marriage to last for a long time, the main cause of the marriages to fail. And the one common theme in all of it was selfishness.
So
that's the topic of the book is, you know, taking selfishness out of the marriage, which is take the me out of the marriage.
Okay, so how long have you all been married?
24 years.
4 years in June.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how many kids?
We have three. They're all grown now, but they're 22, 20, and 18. So, yeah, we don't have any kids anymore.
No, you don't. Empty nest. Okay, so how do you take the I out of a marriage and make it a we thing?
You have to first, I think, you have to start looking at yourself more than you look at, and it's kind of funny to take me out, but you actually have to look at yourself and see what you're doing to maybe cause the problems in the marriage instead of pointing the finger at the other person. So if, for example, if I'm not happy and I take it out on you, I'm going to always try to figure out a way it was your fault.
Right.
Right. But I'm not going to look at, okay, what did I do?
Mm-hmm.
What am I not giving? What have I stopped doing that I was doing from the beginning? Like, if we were dating, all the stuff that I did to win you over, have I stopped doing that stuff?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Most people, they always want to say, okay, well, my husband did this to me, or my wife did this to me. My husband's not doing this, or my wife's not doing this. But very rarely do you see somebody say, "Well, you know, I didn't do what I'm supposed to do. I didn't do my job."
Right.
As a husband or a wife.
Okay, so you're saying we have to own our stuff.
Yes, and you have to honestly look at yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be honest with yourself and say what you're doing and what you're not doing. And it takes a lot to really be honest with yourself.
Right. It's ugly sometimes.
Right, because you don't want to think about things you're not doing. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you all been married a long time, and when you've been married that long, You have ups and downs. You love your partner through it all, but sometimes you just don't like it at the same time. What do you all do in the meantime to get that loving feeling back?
Communicate more. Try to, you know, do things for each other that we did beforehand, and try not to stay, you know, stay in that, in a bad place long. It's easy for marriages to get in a rough patch and stay in a rough patch, because a lot of people don't want to try to change themselves. So I think that a lot of times we have to change ourselves and look inward and say, okay, what do I need to do to make this get back to where it was? If that is, if you want to stay there. If you don't want to stay there, that's a whole different situation, a different conversation. But I think that if you want to stay in that marriage, you'll do whatever you can to keep that husband or that wife that you have.
Right. So you would say the most important part of marriage would be communication?
Yes,
that's
I would.
One,
yes.
That's one of the most, one of the most important parts. And believe it or not, a lot of people forget, but the most important part is the physical relationship that you have. And because, and I say that because the only reason that we really get married is to take the sin out of the sexual relationship. Because you can love somebody and live with them all your life without ever saying, without ever getting married to them. But we get married because it's a sin to have sex outside of a marriage. It's a sin.
Right.
It's a sin to. So if you want your marriage to continue to flourish, you have to keep that physical relationship going.
Right.
Or it's really not a marriage.
Yeah,
right.
I think a lot of people don't. I agree with Melvin, but I think inwardly a lot of people don't think about that when they get married. I know spiritually that's the first thing you think about, but sometimes it seems like now people are just getting married just to get married, or people are just doing, you know. So a lot of times back in our day when we got married, that was our, you know, that's what it was about. In 1993, it was about, you know, more spiritual. Now, again, you know, some people just do it just because they want a big wedding. They want a big, you know, certain thing. That's what I, from the outside looking in, that's what I see. So, but it is. It's more of a situation of, you know, sin and not sinning anymore. So I agree with Melvin on that, yes.
I don't think people truly understand that marriage is work.
Definitely.
Because I've been there, I've done that. Man, what were you saying?
All relationships take work. You cannot have a relationship with anybody if you don't work at it. But with a marriage, what makes the work so hard is you're living with this person day in and day out. You're seeing all their flaws. You're seeing stuff that nobody else sees. So it makes the work harder than just a regular friendship, where you can just, you know, go your own separate ways at the end of the day. You don't have to live in the same house. You don't have to pick up the nasty clothes and all that stuff.
Right.
But when you're married, that work becomes a lot harder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you're married, I think a lot of appreciation loses the longer you're together. A lot of, you know, we learn to stop appreciating what we had in the beginning. So I think that's one thing too. You know, sex without sin, communication and appreciation are some of the main things that keep a marriage going. You know, you have to appreciate each other, because if you don't like each other, what's the point? So,
true. And that comes from building a marriage and a relationship on a friendship foundation. And I was looking on Facebook. Where they say people just meet each other, they on Facebook or on Facebook, and all of a sudden they're married or they're in a relationship. Nobody courts or builds a friendship first,
right,
to meet anymore.
Mm-hmm.
If this
were an open forum where I could get immediate feedback, I would ask everybody that was listening, what are you looking for in a spouse? What are you looking for in a marriage? And I'm pretty sure that what people say that they're looking for, they don't actually have when they marry that person that they're married. If you understand what I'm saying. They have this one ideal of what they want, but then they'll marry somebody that doesn't have any of the traits that they said that they were looking for.
Right. Did you think that comes from not getting to know the person?
And I'll ask you, what is the first thing that we notice about a person?
I hate to say this, but it's their look that attracts us.
Exactly. And then once we see something that we like, then we think, okay, let's take this further. And now, and what happens is, the more you like the way they look, the less you will notice their flaws as a person. The more you like the way they feel, if you get together before you get married, the more you like the way they feel, the less you see of their flaws as a person. Once you get married to them, and they get old to you, they're not that new shiny car anymore. Then you start noticing the flaws that you didn't notice in the beginning. But if you take the time to know the person without worrying about how they look, you would notice. Okay, this person treats children badly. This person is always looking at somebody else.
Things we look over until it happens, and then we notice it then. But up until, like you saying, like up until the point where you actually are open, your eyes are open enough to see it, you don't want to see it. You want to see what you saw, that shiny new car. And once you see that, okay, but what's on the inside? Is that car dirty? But the car might be shiny on the outside, but is that car dirty on the inside? You know.
Right.
We are physical beings. That's what we are. That's what we see. No matter how we try to cover it up, we're all physical. So you see how somebody walks, you see how they act, you see them at work, you see them, outside in the mall, and you say, okay, I like the way he dressed, but how does he dress outside of this moment, and that kind of thing. So, people, it's just, we have our shades on until it's time to take those shades off, and then we say, okay, this is not what I want anymore.
You about to make me shout over here. my next question is, this is a toss-up, too. It's important to maintain your marriage when you have kids, the things that you did before kids. What is most important, children or your partner?
Well, if you want to go biblically, your spouse is supposed to come before your kids, because there's nothing your kids, and I used to say this a lot, and my daughter is listening right now, but you rent your kids for 18 years, but you're supposed to be married for life.
Right.
You're supposed to raise your kids to where one day they will start their own family. They'll be able to be successful on their own.
Right.
But your spouse is always supposed to come before your children.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree with the spouse. I agree with your spouse coming before, God first, spouse next, and, having a covering, having your spouse and then your children. Now, some of these situations where the parent is letting the boyfriend come before their children, now that's a different situation. So are you asking about the spouse? Are you asking about somebody else coming into the household and trying to, right, okay. So, yeah, spouses, yeah, the spouse is your, you know, you have your covering, your husband is your covering.
Right.
And as long as you bring your children up to understand that this is how it is supposed to be, they'll understand this is daddy, no matter what. This is my husband, this
right.
is your dad. Yeah.
Right. And I think that is so misunderstood so much of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when the kids move and go
mm-hmm.
home, the couple is looking like, who are you?
Right.
What are we gonna
right.
do?
And it happens. Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
it happens. Yeah, we had our kids really early, so it was a situation where, you know, when the kids got older and they were all in school at the same time, that was the moments when we had those moments of, okay, let's talk about certain things and let's do certain things together. When they were in school, you know, we'll go out to eat together, you know, have lunch, that kind of thing when they were younger, just to kind of get to know each other.
Right.
Because kids can take overwhelm you if you
yeah.
don't if
mm-hmm.
you don't be careful and take that time out to know your spouse. Kids can do that. They're a blessing, don't get me wrong, but at the same time your marriage as well is a blessing too. So but go ahead, what were you getting ready to ask?
I was going to ask, if you were done with that, I was going to ask, what, because you got married young, what would
mm-hmm.
your advice be to the younger you as a couple and a younger you as individual?
Okay. Go ahead, Melvin. You can start.
the younger me as an individual, I've never thought about doing anything different as far as making a decision to get married young or not. I've never thought about that. That's not a decision that I've ever regretted. So, but as a couple, what I would have done differently was I would have found a better way to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
my favorite question is why.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk about that in the book. Is why didn't you do this and why did you do that? And Tasha she didn't like it when I said that, when I would ask her why didn't she do this or why did she do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that was causing a lot of problems until as recently as last year.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
But we spent,
and,
I mean, go ahead.
No, you finish.
So we spent 20-something years with me always asking why, and every time I ask why, Tasha would get offended, and I didn't even know that me asking the why was what was causing the problem.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I would actually tell, if I had a chance to tell my younger self anything, it would be to love more, communicate
mm-hmm.
more. Don't allow
mm-hmm.
The small things to bother you. I have an issue with that, and I got that, I believe, from my mom. But we let the smallest things just bother us, and it. But right now, as Melvin was saying, why, when we first got married, he would ask me, why didn't you do this and why didn't you do that? And to me, you asking me why, I'm married to you, so why are you asking me something as if I'm a child? You know how you ask a child, why are you doing this and why are you doing that? So I would say, why are you, because I didn't want to, or, you know, that kind of thing. So we have to understand as marriages and as wives and husbands, you know, ask me a question as in to
right.
say, you know, what was the reasoning or anything like that. But why is almost like, you're going to get a paddle or, you know, something, because why was always that word, even in school, why didn't you clean up your room when you were younger? Why didn't you do this? So it brought me to the forefront of thinking, now this is not my dad, right? You know, thinking this is my husband, not my dad.
Right.
So
right.
I started rebelling as a wife because
mm-hmm.
It was sounding like you were treating me as a child. So my thing is, again, don't think of things as the worst. try to figure out what you mean by what you're saying. And that I could have changed that at 18, 19, 20, you know, and said, okay, he's not actually just asking me why. He's trying to, he is, but he's trying to figure out what was the reasoning for me not doing something, you know. So that was that, yeah.
One thing I loved hearing about when you were on here last, it was about supporting each other's dreams and how males and people support this with everything that you wanted to do. And I wanted you to tell that story over in case somebody is listening now that was not listening the last time.
Okay. Melvin, you were talking about. You go ahead.
Oh, it was a question last time. I think somebody asked a question. What happened when your wife has all these things that they want to do, but they never finish anything? I think that was the question. And my response was, I mean, you have to support them anyway, because if they start something and they don't finish it, well, you still support them, because nobody's perfect. I mean, everybody somebody might want to start something and they change their mind along the way. That shouldn't stop you from loving that person.
Wait
a minute. As long as they want to do it, if they change their mind, they don't want to do it. As long as it's not killing anybody, what is it going to hurt? If they want to go into something else, support them in that. Maybe one day they'll find something that they really like.
Yeah, that's how we came to that, because Melvin's had, you know, dreams as well that I've supported. You know, certain things. We all, you know, have our things that we want to try, you know, everything, you know, that's out there, anything we want to try. So, you know, I've supported him as well. And it's just like once they find that niche, because if you love that person, you see that they really want to try something. You see they really want to have the urge to do something, and you're wanting them to find that. So you love them through that until they find what they really want to do.
True. I have somebody on Facebook, and I think it's awesome. They say that they love you all, and you're out with marriage. And so do I. We are counting down. Ooh, 6 minutes. How can our readers, our listeners, get in contact with you? How do they buy your book?
There's a page. We have a Facebook page. It's just Melvin Thomas Author is the Facebook page. But the book is on Kindle. It's $2.99 on Kindle, and and on the Nook for the ebook. And the print book is on Amazon for $5.99. So either way, I'm working on a print, and I'm working on a print book for Barnes and Noble right now. That's in the works. But you can buy the print Amazon for $5.99, and the ebook is on Kindle and Nook for $2.99.
And we have no problem with people texting us or anything like that. So our phone numbers, you know, just to ask any questions that they have. Mine is 678-464-9788, and Melvin's is 678-523-2893. We have no issue with people calling and asking us questions if they have, you know, any questions. We're not saying we're psychologists. We're not saying that we're, you know, just anything. We're just two people that have been married a long time that have had our issues in our marriage and are trying to still work through them, because constantly in a marriage, you're constantly working through something. So don't think that one day it's just going to stop, because it's never going to stop.
The key is to keep going.
Listeners,
keep going.
Yeah. And listeners, this is the perfect book for marriage seminars, and I personally think that it should be read as a premarital counseling book. So know what they get into before they get into it. thank you so much for sharing yourself with us. And
thank you for having
us. I'm hoping to have you all back on again because, again, I can't get enough of you, and apparently our listeners can't either.
So, well, let them know we love them as well. So let them know that we love them just as much as they love us. And, you know, we're open. So just let us know. But never stop trying. That's the word for the day. Never stop trying.
Okay. Thank you so much. You all have a wonderful week.
No,
you too. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.